Now, Dr. Elizabeth Kleinhans has enjoyed a distinguished career as a teacher, principal, and senior research fellow at the Australian Council for Educational Research. Elizabeth wrote her PhD thesis on Kathleen Fitzpatrick, the pioneering Australian academic and historian. This became her biography of Fitzpatrick, A Brimming Cup. Elizabeth's latest book is Germaine. It's a biographical, of Germaine Greer, compiled from Greer's personal archives, although not personally sanctioned by Greer herself. The book is the first biography of its kind in two decades and explores Germaine's life from its humble beginnings in Melbourne throughout her rise as a prominent figure in the second wave of feminism and throughout her continuing reputation as a fiercely outspoken public intellectual. Now, Dr. Elizabeth, she is in the studio with us this morning. Thank you so much for coming in, for making time for us.
It's fine. Thanks, Jim.
Now, writing this book couldn't have been an easy project, I would imagine. The project dissects Germaine's extensive personal archive held at Melbourne University. And I understand you received no help from Germaine in the creation of this book or no input as such. Why do you, do you think is important about Germaine Greer as a kind of public figure? Why did you choose to engage with her in this way?
Yes, that's really a very good question. Why? Well, first of all, why the project? And I guess I just finished my biography of Kathleen Fitzpatrick and I wanted to do something else, fill in the days. So I decided on Germaine. And I guess I decided on Germaine for a couple of reasons. And another reason became much more clear as I went on. But the first reason was that I suppose she'd sort of changed my life. That's what everybody in my generation, I'm the same generation as Germaine, and there's no doubt that my life changed really dramatically. I would have had a very different life if it hadn't been for Germaine Greer. Not only her, I mean, there were other things. There was the pill came along at that time that made a big difference, and other feminist writers too. But I think Germaine reached ordinary people in a way that no other feminist writer has done. She had that ability to do that. So that was probably the very first reason. I realise also that she's one of very, very few Australians, you can practically count them on one hand, who has a place on the world stage. You know, I mean, there are very, very few Australians who are really even known or heard of overseas. And that certainly doesn't apply to her. She's even better known in England, actually, than here.
Wow. Like Neighbours.
Yes, she's been on television and radio and all sorts of, had a big profile in England, more so than here. And then the other reason that I think is quite interesting is that as time went on, I talked to lots of people and they all said, oh, God, why do you want to do her? She's a silly old bat. She's an idiot. I can't stand Germaine Greer. She's a pain in the neck, all that sort of thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I realised that over the years there's been a sort of a caricature created of her, which she has not helped by some of the things she said. There's no doubt about that. But it's certainly not the real Germaine Greer. She doesn't deserve that totally. And I thought, you know, this is an opportunity to set the record straight, or help. It's not going to change everything, but it may help to set the record straight for posterity that she is, in fact, a brilliant intellectual. She's a Shakespearean scholar. She's contributed enormously to the field of women's literature. Journalist, interested in developing countries, brilliant cook, brilliant gardener, brilliant dressmaker, for goodness sake.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
She's just so many things, and that's what I wanted to portray.
Now, I understand Germaine didn't have any direct input into the book itself and that she doesn't like to read things about herself.
Quite the opposite.
But you did speak with her while you were writing it.
I wrote to her
initially.
And it was a case of fools rushing in where angels fear to tread, because I did not know how opposed she was. She is violently opposed to the idea of anyone writing about her. And I genuinely didn't know that. So I mentioned it to a few people who kind of did know, and they would look at me, and I think the book starts off, you know, they said, brave woman, oh, you're brave. And I thought, why are they saying, why? You know, what's so big about this?
Why am I so brave?
Yeah, well, I'm not brave at all.
Just writing a book.
What are they on about? You know, the look on their faces of shock. But, yeah, I wrote to her and told her what I was planning to do, basically. And then she just wrote back. I think I described the letter she wrote to me as uncivil. It was quite rude.
Oh, really?
She just said she didn't want any part of it. And she ended up by, I had addressed her as Dr. Greer, and she ended up by saying that I'd got her title wrong. She was professor, not doctor.
Very important distinction to
Very
make.
Very important.
Wow.
So that was that.
So was that one of the most challenging aspects of writing the book then, doing it kind of as an uphill battle with your subject?
It wasn't all that uphill, and largely because, first of all, there was the archive, and then there's an enormous amount of Greer out there, you know, articles, her own writing, people have written about her. So there was plenty of info. Wasn't challenging in that way. I had a bit of a crisis of conscience at one stage. Somebody said to me, oh, this is a bit intrusive. They said I'd hate anyone to do that with me. And I thought, you know, you don't want to spend 3 years of your life doing something that's, you know, a bit off. But then I thought, for heaven's sake, you know, she's put herself out there. She's not exactly a private person.
No.
And then if you sell your archive, you know, for $3 million, you've got to expect
something to come of it.
Yes.
I can imagine. And being a public figure as well, you've got That's to expect right. a level of interest of from the public.
Of course.
I mean, you spoke before about kind of late, the controversy that Jermaine has found herself in and how maybe she hasn't helped herself in that respect. What role do you think, after spending so much time researching her life and writing this book, what role do you think Jermaine Greer plays in this kind of post-Me Too world? Because a lot of her comments around that time have been seen as unsavoury by a lot of people.
True. I think there's a couple of things there. I think the first thing is it really is generational. And actually, just this morning I read something in one of your Sydney newspapers that said exactly that, about the Geoffrey Rush case. It was that young people see things like sexual harassment very differently from the way that people of my generation, well, obviously not everybody, but what is a shocking and terrible thing to a young person isn't so shocking to people of Jermaine's generation and mine. We've lived with it all our lives. And so, you know, deep down in your gut feeling, you don't have that sort of visceral reaction when you hear about it. I think that's probably one thing, an important factor. When Me Too started, I'd actually finished writing the book, and I wasn't the least bit surprised at Jermaine's reaction, because she's, first of all, a libertarian. She formed her views in Sydney as a student in the pubs of Sydney. The bohemian group called The Push sat around and aired their views to each other. They argued, and they are absolutely free thinkers. They don't jump on bandwagons. They don't follow anybody. They work things out for themselves, and that's Jermaine Greer.
To
always has been.
Yeah.
So she wasn't going to jump on the Me Too bandwagon. I knew that. So in that sense,
it wasn't at all surprising.
It wasn't surprising at all.
What are you hoping people take away from the book? What are you hoping people learn?
Well, my friends and relations who, as we spoke before, have been very kind.
As they should.
I want it to be a good read. I love reading myself, and I want them to enjoy it. That's the very, very first thing. To think of it as a good read. There were a couple of friends of mine who said they couldn't put it down, which was very kind. I hope it's true. But that's what I was aiming for. And then the other thing, as I said, I'm hoping that it just might put the record straight about her and show her for the person that she really is.
A more holistic view.
Not the caricature, not the silly old bat. But the whole person from her school days right through to the present.
Well, it does sound like an absolutely fascinating read. I'm sure there's lots of people out there who will be very, very interested to crack the cover open. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Jess.
Dr. Elizabeth Kleinhines there. She's talking about her new book. It's called Germaine, a biography on Germaine Greer. We're going to pop some links on the podcast if you'd like to get a copy. It launched on Monday.